God, we thank you for your son. Father, now as Pastor Dennis comes and shares with us the word this morning, we just pray you'd open our hearts and our minds to hear from you, God, that we would be challenged. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, team. Thanks for those songs. If you know me at all, you know I love Christmas and I love Christmas songs. And I love the fact that Pastor Dustin does as well, and Penny, like I said, we always talk about this, that we always play a lot of Christmas music around the office this time of year, but Pastor Dustin really gets excited when we get to pull out the Christmas songs. You just can't wait sometimes. Last week, he really held off to wait for the first week of Advent. As we come to our Advent season this year, our theme is regifted, and you'll see the graphic here, Dare to Give Differently This Christmas. And if you read your newsletter, there's a little bit of a write-up there on the front page. Not a write-up per se, but just a little bit of thought on that. And it says, as we enter this Advent season, we want to be challenged to rediscover the story, to realign our hearts, to rewind our minds, to restore the joy of the gift. And then it goes on to say, as we look at the Christmas narrative again this year, we want to rediscover the profoundly powerful peace, hope, joy, faith, and love that has been bestowed upon us due to the arrival of the Messiah. And that is our hope this year, that we would rediscover the gifts that have already been given, and that we would learn maybe this Christmas season, this opportunity to re-gift some of those things. And as we all do at this time of year, we think about gifts and we think about what to give our loved ones and those closest to us. And we consider, you know, really what would they need, what would they want? Well, maybe we don't consider what they need, but we definitely consider what they would want. And as we come, we want to really think this year about how to re-gift the gifts that have already been given. Not in a cheapskate kind of way, not in the fact that we're too cheap to go out and buy gifts. But that the gifts that came with the Messiah, Jesus Christ, are amazing in and of themselves. And that we want to learn to give differently this year. We want to make sure that we don't miss out on the opportunity to share the hope that we have. If you think about it, 2,000 years ago, love came to this earth in the person of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And love showed what love looks like. The Messiah, Christ, showed what true love looked like. He gave hope for those who needed hope. He presented a chance for those who wanted a second chance. He brought redemption for all of us. And he brought some of the most amazing gifts possible. That love lived on this earth for 33 short years. And then one season, those 33 years of life, that 33 years of the love of the Messiah was gone as quickly and miraculously as he came. And yet, the Messiah had planned for us, the church, throughout the ages to carry on the message of hope, the message of love, the message of peace, the message of joy, and the message of faith that he brought. That he left a people group called the church, his church, to make sure that these gifts continued on. And as we come this year to our Advent season, as we come and look at those aspects of peace, hope, joy, faith, and love, we want to be reminded of the fact that those were ultimately gifts that the Messiah brought. And that he left in our hands to make sure that we redistribute them throughout the ages to those in need. And therefore, we are called and we are challenged and we are actually blessed to be able to re-gift the things that the Savior left for us. And we want to talk about that over the Advent season. Today we want to just, in a moment, light the first candle of our Advent wreath. And the first candle of today is the candle of peace. And I want us to think about these a couple of scriptures. One is one that we use quite often when we speak of peace, especially at the Christmas season. And this is in Isaiah chapter 9. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to that. Or you can look on the screen if you don't have your Bibles. But Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, two short verses that speak hundreds of years before the Messiah came, of the coming Messiah. So Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, let me read those verses for us. They say, For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. I'm sorry, there was a period there. From this time, from that time on and forever, period. And then the last sentence is, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And there's a lot of things in here. There's a lot of words we use and titles for the Messiah. But this idea of Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That all those things kind of culminate in the peace that the Messiah would bring. And Jesus came and brought those things to this earth. As we were singing that song, Silent Night, I was thinking, I love that song. I mean, there's so many of the Christmas songs that just draw me to tears. And Pastor Dustin and I were talking this week, is not only are they good songs, not only do they move us emotionally, but the theology of the Christmas songs are so amazing. And as we sing over the next number of weeks, don't miss the theology of these songs. Don't miss what is told us in the words of the songs about the Messiah that would come. But there's this beautiful aspect of the coming Messiah as promised by God that we can hear about in these songs. And yet I was reading the words of that song, and as much as I love that song, I went, Silent Night. I bet you there was nothing silent in Bethlehem that night. There was a big hubbub going on because there was the census happening. And people were coming from all over to be registered. And there was, we know that it was a tight fit because they say that there was no room in the inn for Mary and Joseph. And they had to go out into probably a cave or a barn or something and give birth to their baby. It was probably just a crowded mess. And if you've ever been anywhere in the world other than North America, you realize that noise in different places is much bigger than it is in our. We have a very clean culture here, and we have certain hours where things just stop. And I love traveling different places in the world because you see things differently. And one of the places, as you know, I love is Ethiopia. And yet what I know in Ethiopia is that nobody stops at 7 o'clock at night and goes in the house, turns their TV on, and everything's quiet. That's when people are gathering their water and making their food and taking out their trash and meeting with their neighbors, and it's loud. And my guess is this silent and holy night wasn't so silent, but really holy. Because the Messiah came to earth that night, born as an infant in a human body. But we have this pristine view of it, that it's all so magical and beautiful and quiet. And the only noise in the whole town was the baby crying. And it says he didn't even cry. He did cry. But we have this view that only this baby peeped in the back corner of the barn somewhere, and everything else was silent. Well, Jesus came in a time where life was lacking peace in many ways. It lacked governmental peace for the Israelite people because they were under the rule of the Romans. It lacked peace in people's lives because they were held down. It lacked peace in lives because there was relational strife in families just like there is today. But this Messiah baby came amongst the lack of peace that he might bring peace. And we have to be reminded of that even though it wasn't quiet, it's okay. It doesn't mess up our Christmas narrative. It doesn't mess up things because it wasn't as pretty as we thought in the story. And guess what? There was no snowflakes coming down in Bethlehem that day, even though we always think that white Christmas is the way it started and the way it should be. It didn't happen that way. The Prince of Peace came amongst the lack of peace. And he walked among an earth that needed that peace that only he could bring. And we have to be mindful to understand of what biblical peace is. Biblical peace is not everything going well. It's not everything being cleaned up. It's not all the problems solved. It's not all the relationships fixed. It's not all the needs met. But biblical peace is a peace that passes understanding amongst all of that. While life in the world is still messy and messed up, while relationships are still broken, while people are still hurting, while needs are still unmet, there's somehow through the Messiah and the hope that he brought a peace that we can have amongst that. And sometimes we think when peace hits this earth, it's going to be an amazing thing. Everybody's just going to look so angelic and happy. And it really is not necessarily that way. When peace hits this earth as the Messiah desires it to and desired it to and brought it to bring, what it brings is a peace in our hearts that comes from God alone that we can't understand, because we will look at the circumstances around us and understand that we shouldn't have peace, but we do. One of the most profound discourses in Scripture on peace comes from the words of Christ himself on the night that he should have had anything but peace. The night that he was betrayed, the night that he was arrested, the night that he went on trial, and then later the next day to be drugged to the cross. And Jesus comes and he speaks, and I want to read this to you in John chapter 14, verses 25 to 27. As he's preparing his followers for the fact that his time is coming to an end on this earth, and he speaks to them about what must happen, and he speaks to them in the midst of this passage we want to read is in the midst of him speaking about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And the fact that I'm going to be removed from you, but something greater is going to come, the Holy Spirit within you, that my Spirit will now indwell you. As I have come and dwelt on earth, you will now have the indwelling of my Spirit in you. As I brought peace, you will bring peace. As I brought hope, you will take hope. As I brought joy, you will be the manifestation of joy in our world. Seems odd that he would leave it to us, but he did. But in verse 25 of chapter 14 of John, we read these words. Jesus speaks and says, "All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." And he's saying, you know what, there's going to be some turmoil coming up. And the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you and remind you of the things I taught you. And then verse 27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." And this is Jesus knowing very well what's about to happen in a few short hours. And within a day, he's going to be hanging on a cross, excruciating pain for us. And he says, "I've come to bring peace, and my peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. And the Holy Spirit will remind you." And he's preparing them for the worst of the worst in just a few hours, and yet he's preparing them for a lifetime of serving him as well. And he says, "The peace I've been given, I'm now leaving with you. And as I came as Prince of Peace, you are now many, 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 M-A-N-Y, M-I-N-I, princes of peace as you go into your world." And we, 2,000 years later, come and we exist to be the representation of Christ where God has planted us. And he's called us to be, we're not the Prince of Peace, but to represent the Prince of Peace in the world where we live. And this year, as we look at regifting, I want us to think about the fact, if we could give anything to anybody, what would it be? And I would like to think for many of us, we would look at our loved ones, our friends, our family, maybe in even ourselves, and I would say, if I could give any gift to any of those people, including myself, it would be true and abiding, biblical, godly peace amidst all the mess of the world. And folks, this could be so trite, but here we go, it's Christmas time again, it's Advent, we're hearing about peace, and I hope we can get beyond that. And it's nice to light the candle, and I'm going to light the candle of peace right now, and it's nice to do these things. It's nice to be mindful of these things. But I want us to be real about it. I want us to be hopeful in it. I want us to look at those around us and pray for them. And I want us to lift them up and say, you know what, God, if they need anything this year, it's not another pair of slippers. Although I got a great pair of slippers from my son-in-law last year, which I love dearly. So, bad example. Another bathrobe. Any of those kind of things. Those are all good things and they're nice and we need certain things. But what most people that I run into need is just real peace. A God-abiding peace in their life. And as we think this year, you know what? Buy the slippers, buy the bathrobes, buy the toys, buy the things. Don't go crazy, but buy things and bless our families with those things. God has gifted us. Let's enjoy giving. That's an okay thing. But very simply, let's not forget that what most people need is something deep inside, just that peace that they can have. I want to pray for us. They're going to come and sing one last song, Oh Holy Night, another great Christmas song. Then I'm going to come up and pray for our gathering time around the fellowship time, give a few instructions on that. But as we go into this season, let's remember to think about how God has gifted us with peace and how we might turn around and re-gift that to others. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you this morning, and we thank you for the peace that you've brought into our lives. And for my own life, Lord, there are moments of amazing peace that I don't deserve, and I know it only comes from you because, Lord, I am not worthy of it. But, Lord, there's still this aspect of my life where there's this extreme amount of time where I live in a lack of peace. And, Father, I know you don't want me to live there. And I've spoken with some of my brothers and sisters through the years who say, Father, that they just feel that they're not supposed to have peace at this season of their life. And I disagree with that because that is not what you came to die for. It's not what you came to live for. Father, you came that we might have peace, that we might have it deep within our hearts. And for each of my brothers and sisters here, and for those who are connected to us relationally, as friends and family, co-workers and classmates and teammates, Father, I would pray that we would not be blind to the lack of peace in other people's lives. And as fathers, we talk about in this season that there's never a season where people are more open to spiritual talk from us. They're never more open to hearing about our faith because it's an aspect of the season that the world still has a little bit of. So Father, in the freedom of this season, I would pray that we would feel the tug of your heart to pray for those around us, to pray peace upon their lives, to pray hope upon their lives, faith and joy and love. But Father, as we concentrating this week on peace, I would pray that we would not dig up lack of peace where it doesn't exist, but where we would see it where it does exist, and we would pray against it in the lives of those closest to us. And Father, even just to be able to speak the words to those that we love dearly, that we would hope that they would find true, abiding, and godly peace in this season and in the seasons to come. And Father, we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together as we sing O Holy Night.